After a major intelligence leak, a Pentagon investigation commences.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Well, you could have expected this to happen. Of course, the New York Times, CNN, all of your favorite sources are now saying, you know that incredible military strike that our brave team was able to go in, get it done, and get out before even anyone knew it happened? Not good enough. Not good enough. And of course, that reporting came out of some leaked documents. And of course, we still are dealing with the fact that there are leaked documents. Leaking is still happening. But thankfully now we have a group that is in there right now in the Pentagon saying, hey, if you're going to be leaking these top high-end security details, number one, it's treasonous. Again, those are their words. It's treasonous. And also, we're going to do an investigation. We're going to figure out how you got this info, because really, who does it benefit? Who does it benefit to show this analysis? And the analysis, of course, they said was not necessarily 100%, wasn't necessarily accurate. They did say that it was leaked, saying that, yes, it pushed them back probably months. Maybe it didn't push them back years or completely decimate these facilities. But it's also not anything that's been 100% proven by any means. But the only person, or the only group that this emboldens, is the enemy at this point.
That's right, Logan. We now have confirmation that the deep state isn't just alive and well, but it's playing politics with war, with our troops now. And so who does the deep state go to when they want to subvert the agenda of President Trump or even the successes of our military? They go to Natasha Bertrand, who is CNN's deep state correspondent. Remember, she is the one that got the exclusive about the 51 former intelligence individuals that were coming out saying, hey, this Hunter Biden laptop, it's Russian disinformation. So she ran with that. That was her big scoop. And now her big scoop for CNN is that there's an intelligence report from the Defense Intelligence Agency that, by the way, has low-level confidence.
What does that mean? I want you to be able to understand
that. That means that this is just a very preliminary assessment. They haven't been able to really get in there and see what has gone on. But the low-level confidence, top-secret intelligence report that was leaked to CNN said that it appears that their capacity to build a nuclear weapon is moved back by a matter of months. So that is now the headline that you're seeing people like Aaron Burnett on CNN running with after their reporter, Natasha Bertrand, went with it. The New York Times are all taking it. They're celebrating this like there's egg on the president's face, when in reality, our soldiers, our troops, our pilots went over there and had a perilous mission, did it, and now they're celebrating it.
Yeah, they're celebrating what they think could be a not 100% successful mission. Well, you know what we know also about this president? Guess what? If it's not 100% successful, you know what's going to happen? We'll send a couple more over there. We'll see what happens. Okay? Right now, there's quiet. Has anything happened really overnight? No. Did that ceasefire stick the first time? No, but did it stick that second time? It sure seems like it. Because we have an administration that actually cares. Do I like that these kind of things leak? No, I do not. I think that this is very damaging to a lot of people, and to really, it's to our safety and our security. We got to figure this part out. And I'm glad that you have Pete Hegseth and some of the other groups there. I mean, look, they were able to accomplish the mission without anything leaking. They were able to do the unthinkable, send, planes from Missouri to Iran and back without any of us knowing. Not even the news was reporting that there was explosions that happened. It was done before anyone knew. But how dare they have a successful mission? We're going to try to put egg on their face and then try to besmirch the name of our U.S. military. It's disgusting. I hate it. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk about this as well as some big ACLJ moves that are happening right now in the pro-life sphere. We're also going to have an update, hopefully today, by Jeff Balaban. Tried to get him yesterday at ACLJ Jerusalem, but as you can imagine, sometimes the connections are getting a bit rocky over there. But today, I believe we will have him on later in the show. And of course, we want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. I know a lot of you are just joining us right now, so I think we should reset very quickly. We're talking about the intelligence leak that happened. You may have seen saying that, hey, they didn't fully destroy these nuke facilities, but they bumped them back just a matter of months, which again, to me, still bumping back what was a almost nuke threat by a matter of months. That's still a success, but they're saying, of course, that's not even accurate, but that is coming from a low-level leaker. And right now, the Pentagon is going to investigate how this happened, because this should not still be happening. Like Will said, it feels like the deep state can be alive and well right now if it comes to any sort of success that may happen under a Trump administration. Now, I do think we should give some time to President Trump, give some time to CNN so you can hear what they had to say, and maybe some others. Will, where do you want to go first?
Well, let's first lay out what happened. This was Natasha Bertrand, who is infamous for Russiagate reporting with Business Insider, and then she got a promotion within the world of anti-Trump journalists and joined CNN. And then she famously got the scoop about the 51 Intel members that lied about the Hunter Biden laptop to try to give cover for President Biden's election in 2020. And now she has a new scoop, and this is the headline: exclusive. Early U.S. intel assessment suggests strikes on Iran did not destroy nuclear sites, sources say. What is so troubling here on many layers is that, remember how Pete Hegseth and the entire team early on, because of the incidental adding of Jeffrey Goldberg to their signal chat, put national security at risk. So many people were at risk, and just the fact of our secrets being not protected. Now we have CNN running with a story that was leaked to them.
So happy
in the aftermath of a successful bombing campaign in Iran that is trying to push a different narrative than what the president has said. And honestly, it's a low confidence assessment. It's very early, but.
Well, they're breathing a sigh of relief because they actually have something they can report on that their audience hopefully will like. That's the problem, is they've been having to cover a story that has been kind of celebrated over, even from a lot of Democrats. And they don't like that. It doesn't fit the narrative. So what are we going to do? We're going to get someone we know, a low-level person in the Pentagon, to leak us a document that says, oh, it was a success, just maybe not as big of a success as we thought.
And the fact that they are so excited and wanting to push this, and you even saw Aaron Burnett, who a few weeks ago, maybe just before the attack, said that Iran was years away from a nuclear bomb. now joyfully reporting, look, it's only pushed back their program a couple of months, trying to have it both ways. They are excited about this instead of calling this out. What is this? A national security risk, this leak. This is someone who decided to leak something for political purposes, and the only person it helps, other than maybe a bump in viewership at CNN and MSNBC, is the Ayatollah of Iran. It's a PR win for the Iranians. Regardless of what the assessment says, the only person it helps is the Iranian mullahs and Ayatollah.
I think we should give them their due. You probably want to hear from them. So maybe we'll hear from Bertrand, hear a little bit from CNN. Where do you want to start with?
Sure, you can. This is Natasha Bertrand reporting on the story. This is Byte 10.
About the battle damage that resulted from those U.S. military strikes on these three Iranian nuclear facilities over the weekend. And as you said, it was produced by the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the Pentagon's intelligence arm. And it is worth noting that it is a very early assessment. The strikes were only a matter of days ago, and the intelligence community is still gathering intelligence. They are still working to come up with a full, comprehensive picture of what exactly happened here. But based on a battle damage assessment that was carried out by U.S. Central Command, essentially looking at the images and looking at what was actually damaged, the Defense Intelligence Agency has assessed that the core components of Iran's nuclear program are largely intact, and that Iran's nuclear program has essentially only been set back by months.
All right, so that is CNN's point of view. Again, coming from leaked documents, low-level documents. Again, she caveats it a little by saying, you know, this is just early assessments. We don't really know. We haven't really been able to go take a look at all the battle damage. This is maybe from looking at, I guess, satellite imagery of what happened here. And look, I'm not saying necessarily they're wrong, because they're now President Trump and a lot of them have said they're wrong. But the idea that you would get this document, you would push to get it, and then you would report on something that, again, only benefits a very big threat to the United States. I don't understand, other than just putting President Trump, making him look somehow a little bit less honest, I guess, than they want, because he said it was a massive success. But let's hear from President Trump as well, talking, and then Caitlin Collins.
Oh, fake news, CNN?
No.
Yeah. Here we go. Wait till you hear this question.
Thank you, sir.
You should really say how great our soldiers and our warriors are.
I think everyone appreciates our soldiers and our warriors. I do have two questions for you, Mr. President. You just cited Israeli intelligence on these attacks. Earlier, you said U.S. intelligence was inconclusive. Are you relying on Israeli intelligence for your assessment of the impact of the strikes?
No, this is also Iran made the statement. And it's also, if you read the document that was given, that Pete can talk about if you'd like, the document said it could be very severe damage. But they didn't take that. They said it could be limited or it could be very severe. They really didn't know, other than to say it could be limited or it could be very, very severe. And you didn't choose to put that because it was very early after. Since then, we've collected additional intelligence. We've also spoken to people who have seen the site, and the site is obliterated. And we think everything nuclear is down there. They didn't take it out.
When you hear the president there, one, also pointing out, as CNN likes to do, that, and you could tell that Natasha Bertrand, even in that report, had clearly seen the whole document.
Yeah.
She knew a lot of details in ins and outs. But that is selective reporting. In the headline, the splashy headline that they wanted was that the assessment suggests strikes on Iran did not destroy nuclear sites, sources say. They are using anonymous leakers that are dangerous to the United States national security. They are trying to undermine the mission of our military and of the president. They should be celebrating that everyone was safe, that it struck a military target, and that it wasn't leaked beforehand, even though they are probably upset that their deep state sources didn't give them a tip off ahead of the flight so that they could put our pilots in harm's way as they're on their way to Iran. But instead, they just want to celebrate what they could see as a failure by the president to keep the world safe. And that's the only person they're helping is the Ayatollah.
But this Pentagon is not going to just roll over and take it. They're not just going to say, okay, fine, we have people leaking, whatever, no big deal. No. And Steve Witkoff responded to that. I want to play that just earlier. It's Byte 5.
It goes without saying that leaking that type of information, whatever the information, whatever side it comes out on, is outrageous. It's treasonous. So it ought to be investigated, and whoever did it, whoever's responsible for it, should have been held accountable. It could hurt lives in the future. This leaking is a completely unacceptable thing.
All right, I also want to. That was obviously from Steve Witkoff. I want to kick it over to a phone call because we have one calling in about this because we are going to move on to a different topic in the next segment. But phone lines are open. We're going to get back to this segment, content later on. So if you want to call in, you got questions about this, 1-800-684-3110. We have some lines open right now for you. Scott, though, is watching on YouTube in Oklahoma. Scott, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. How you doing, fellas?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. So I do agree it's disrespectful to our men and women in uniform that carried out the mission. I just wanted to say that I don't see any reason to get worked up about it right now. Let an investigation happen. We'll find out the truth. And I'm kind of glad that the liberal media outlets are running with this because, once again, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves and lose again.
Scott, I think what the biggest issue with it also is just how much they have made about classified documents in the past. The president trying to have him put in jail, President Trump, over retaining documents from his presidency. And now, but they are freely able to do something in an early assessment when a ceasefire is very fragile, that could embolden the mullahs and ayatollahs and have real consequences for our men and women in uniform in the region. It doesn't help the national security. It doesn't help the lives of Americans when an assessment like this, which is selectively reported, is leaked by someone that works for the Pentagon, is what it appears, and given to the press, and they are able to run with it, and it damages the reputation of the United States. It damages the safety of the United States and of our men and women in uniform. So I understand where you're coming from. And yes, an investigation will be done, and hopefully the leaker is found and held accountable. Because going forward, that also can't be the pattern. It can't be that the deep state selectively gives information to the press in order to harm the interest of the United States. That's why we're worked up about it.
That's right. In the next segment, we are going to pivot a little bit, talk about some of the work of the ACLJ, some of the amazing work in the pro-life world. And you're not going to want to miss this, by the way. This is not replaying old content. This is nothing. This is brand new content from our top legal team. CeCe Hyle is going to be joining us as well to really go over all the different aspects of this case and everything we're working on in that pro-life world. But you're not going to want to miss this. A very special presentation coming up in the next segment. Stay tuned.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Like I said, I wanted to pivot a little bit and talk about some of the great work the ACLJ is doing. I actually want to take you to Missouri and hear from one of our attorneys to set up exactly what's going on with a brand new ACLJ moment that you're not going to want to miss this. Okay, so stay tuned. Here it is. This is Kelsey McGee, one of our attorneys at the ACLJ in Missouri. We'll be right back to go through all of it and all the great work that we're doing in the pro-life world.
Hi, I'm here in Missouri. The ACLJ has been deputized by the Missouri Attorney General to defend its lawsuit against Planned Parenthood. We are proudly standing behind Attorney General Bailey while he fights this lawsuit against Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, in light of a constitutional amendment allowing unfettered access to abortion, is trying to say that sex-selective abortions are okay, that abortions for fetal diagnosis are okay, and that their clinics shouldn't have to sit and stand by the same rules that other medical clinics do in Missouri. The ACLJ believes with Attorney General Bailey that this is an egregious lawsuit that allows Planned Parenthood to care more about their political clout than it does to care about the patients they claim to serve. Planned Parenthood has to abide by the same sort of medical regulations that every other medical clinic in the state has to. We are so proud to stand with Andrew Bailey in this fight. This case may be taking place in Missouri, but it's important to every single state. Planned Parenthood, if they're successful here, they'll go to the next state and then the next state. And each time it'll be easier and easier for them to circumvent common sense laws and pro-life values. Because of your support, we get to be on the ground in Missouri defending pro-life values and continuing our mission that we have for 35 years, which is the sanctity of life and religious liberty. Thank you for your support. We are so thrilled to be joining the fight for the next 35 years.
That was Kelsey McGee, one of our associate counsels here at the ACLJ, giving you an update of what I wanted you to see firsthand, what we're doing. So, you know, we had a crew go out to Missouri to give you a good look at what's happening. We're going to have a lot of great content coming from that. Cece Hiles joining us as well, because this is just a small portion of the pro-life work that still is ongoing here at the ACLJ.
Yeah, I think, again, we always go back to, you know, when Dobbs came down, I think most people thought this fight is over. And as we've known at the ACLJ, it's far from over because now the fight is going to each individual state. And that's what you've seen from Kelsey in Missouri. You know, we have been appointed by the Attorney General there as special assistant AGs, which means we basically act as the Attorney General's there defending Missouri from Planned Parenthood's lawsuit. And again, just like Kelsey said, Planned Parenthood sues. So you see, Missouri is very much a pro-life state with laws. Their laws are very pro-life. But in 2024, there was a ballot initiative, like we always say, watch out for those, mm-hmm. that came across and allowed abortion. This amendment came in and it gave this reproductive health care right, just this vague right to reproductive freedom. And Planned Parenthood is saying, since we have this right, it literally gives us basically an unfettered right to abortion. That means you cannot tell us that we have to use sterile surgical instruments.
Yeah,
you
that can't means tell no us medical,
right.
All the things you would need to have a medical facility.
Absolutely.
That gives them the option to not abide by these rules.
Right. You don't need a doctor. All these rules and regulations that Missouri has on the books, Planned Parenthood is arguing those are all gone. So we are in there as the ACLJ defending Missouri on the ground as Special Assistant Attorneys General.
Yeah, it's great that we're doing this at the ACLJ. You know, we're involved in all the top issues that we know you care about the most. So I encourage you right now, by the way, we are going to continue also our conversation that we had earlier on about that Intel leak and everything that could go on with it. If you have a question about that or a question about what's going on in Iran or a question about pro-life, I encourage you to call in. This is a great time to call in. We have a whole second half hour of the show coming up and we're going to take your calls on that. We're also going to go to ACLJ Jerusalem's team. That's Jeff Balaban. You're going to hear from him live on the ground in Israel. But again, this is a perfect time to call in and get in line at 1-800-684-3110 because I know a lot of you are tuning in to hear that. But it's always important to understand the breadth of the work the ACLJ does. that it is not just focused on one issue, that we're not just focused on reporting the news, that we are out there changing the law, making sure things are getting done around the world. Where's my brother? He's been at the European Center for Law and Justice and its affiliates for nearly a month now, working on incredible stuff that they're going to be doing in Europe, because these values don't exist within just the borders of the United States.
That's right. And Cece, when you look at this case, and once again, for those of you that have been around the ACLJ for a long time, this is the ACLJ fighting against two of our largest legal foes, Planned Parenthood and the ACLU, are both engaged in this case. But once again, it shows, one, the quality and the respect that the ACLJ and our attorneys have, is that the attorneys general of Missouri, the attorney general's office, is using our attorneys to help fight back against Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. But on top of that, it also exposes a lot of the lies that Planned Parenthood tells. They tell you abortion is health care, but what are they fighting? Against health care regulations. What is one of the most regulated industries in the country? Health care. And what they're saying is that we need an exception to how all other health care is regulated, because we need no restrictions. It shouldn't have to be a doctor administering abortion medication or performing abortions. It shouldn't have to be clean. It shouldn't have to have standards. It needs to just be, leave us alone and let us do this because we have this right. It's a lie that we see over and over again, but now they're trying to exploit a right to this health care that is in the Missouri Constitution and say that gives us a blank check to continue. It also exposes they don't care about the people that go to their clinic.
Yeah,
they don't want to protect them.
Absolutely. Planned Parenthood always tries to say this is about women and women's rights. They don't care. They don't care about the rights of women. They don't care about the lives of women. They certainly don't care about the lives of the babies that they're destroying. They care about the bottom thing, and that's dollars. That's what they care about. We fought this. We'll continue to fight it. It's abortion distortion all over again. Yes, you can regulate healthcare, but just not our healthcare if it's abortion. And we're standing against that.
Yep, that's what we do here at the ACLJ. Look, we've talked about what the Planned Parenthood and the ACLU are doing throughout this segment, but you also know how we're involved in all of the other issues as well. I encourage you right now, if you can, support the work of the ACLJ. I haven't done a big ask today. I haven't done those big pitches. Right now, though, I'm going to encourage you, as we head to the end of this first half hour, we know some of you don't get us on your local stations. If you listen on terrestrial radio, we encourage you, though, to watch us. You can always see us at ACLJ.org. You can actually see us on camera, on YouTube, and on Rumble. It's a great experience. You also can be part of the chat. But none of this happens without your support. If you hear ads in your local station, that money's not going to us. That's going to your station or to the network. If you see ads on YouTube, a very small amount of money comes in from that. This doesn't exist without you supporting the work. And over 500,000 alone of you have joined us on YouTube. So we can create a free place where you can have great content that you can then share with your friends and family. And understand that we are not going to put this show behind a paywall. We have no interest in creating an echo chamber. This is for you to take this information, and not only to take in the information yourself, but to hopefully get it to people who need to hear it. Whether that's our support of Israel, whether right now it's dealing with all that's happening on a very global scale, or all the way to just, a kid wants to have a Bible study in their school. We're there on what you consider to be the smallest level and the biggest levels. World leaders and individual children, future world leaders. So support the work at ACLJ.org. You can become a champion as well, someone that gives monthly. But with that, we got a second half hour coming up. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in less than a minute. A very short reset. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. Talking
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo, second half hour coming at you. And right now, hey, we got a full bank of phone lines open right now, six lines. So this is a great time to call in, as we'll be taking your calls and questions throughout this segment and towards the end of the show. So right now, 1-800-684-3110, we are talking about the leak that came out of the Pentagon. Or not out of the Pentagon, yes, it came out of the Pentagon, saying, hey, some of those strikes in Iran, maybe not as good as you had hoped. And this gave an opportunity for New York Times and CNN to say, ha-ha, President Trump, ha-ha, conservatives, ha-ha, military experts, maybe you didn't do quite as good of a job. You did just somewhat of a good job. And of course, this behavior only really supports one thing, and that is the destruction of the United States of America. I'm fine with journalistic, you know, if they're getting a source, that someone leaks something to them. I'm not blaming CNN. I'm not blaming them for covering it. But the person who leaked it was only doing it to do damage to this administration, to the United States of America, and the American military. Because there is no one that this benefits. It doesn't benefit anyone other than the Iranian regime, which, if you have not learned anything very quickly, is that the people themselves in Iran do not care so much for this regime. Have you seen a huge outcrying that they have been taken out, that most of them are gone? No. It's a very different world in Iran. Of course, the nerves come from dealing with some of Iran's partners, China, Russia. But what have they done so far? Nothing. Maybe some words. And that's about it.
That's right. I mean, even Vladimir Putin said in a statement that they are willing to help diplomatically the Iranians in whatever way possible. No rush to offer military support or military aid, which, to be honest, they've got a little bit of a military situation on their hands, so they may not have much to give at this point. But you hear from all these voices, and Carolyn Leavitt is putting on X a bunch of statements from what is actually being said within the intelligence community, within outside intelligence community, and even Steve Witkoff from that clip we played earlier that was treasonous. He went on to talk about what happened at the three sites that were hit and how, because of that, it refers to centrifuges. It refers to some of the above ground facilities. One of them that was totally destroyed, that is a conversion facility. Those are destroyed. Even if Fordo underground is salvageable in some way, it isn't months that they could all of a sudden get back to what they need. Their infrastructure for this was severely taken out. They don't have the capacity right now. And that was the goal, was to end it. And I also think what people are maybe not paying attention to or not thinking about is that President Trump says he accomplished his goal. First of all, if it wasn't actually taken out, I think that we would be seeing some more airstrikes. But yeah, I also think the president reserves the right to do this again in the future if they all of a sudden try to flip a switch.
I also don't know if Iran would have quickly jumped to a ceasefire if they weren't taken out, if it wasn't severely damaged. Why would they then all of a sudden come up with an agreement to quiet things down if they hadn't taken a pretty severe hit? Now, I do want to take your phone calls right now. I'll be honest, we got a ton of people watching. If you're brand new, by the way, and I know that when we have these kind of pop numbers, a lot of you are, usually 50% are not subscribed, I ask you to hit that subscribe button. It's a great free way to support the work of the ACLJ. It also gets you this show in your feed, hopefully every day. You click the bell too. Every day we do it from live, every weekday, noon to one. We put out great content also throughout the week. So do that right now on YouTube or Rumble. That being said, we have a bunch of lines open at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're heading over to Jerusalem live, because the ACLJ exists here, and also we have a team in Jerusalem, at the ACLJ Jerusalem. You're going to hear from Jeff Balaban live on the ground what's going on. So stay tuned for that, and of course support the work while you can. But phone lines are open for you. Get in line right now, and after Jeff, we will take as many calls as we possibly can at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secula. We are now going live to ACLJ Jerusalem head Jeff Balaban. Jeff, we tried to reach you yesterday, but obviously we know there are always right now some issues, some connection issues sometimes can happen. But I think it's important, though, for people to hear what's going on the ground as, of course, we are headed out of what was a pretty historic weekend. We haven't been able to talk to you just yet since. So just give us your assessment of how it's feeling.
Yeah, it's a lot to cover in a short amount of time. The most obvious is it's the first night since this war started that there weren't sirens going off in the middle of the night. So that's a night of peaceful sleep, which is, I'm not saying for me personally, I'm saying for the whole country. Now, of course, there is a war going on still in Gaza. And even what you've been talking about now in the air about what damage was done, how much was done, there's a lot of speculation. People are curious, but only those who know really know. And, it's reasonable to assume that both President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu would be hard-pressed to make such bold claims if there weren't something to back it up. Now, again, we still don't know the full extent of the damage. Obviously, everyone here is very curious. And then moving on to the next level of question is, what does this mean in terms of Iran and the regime? And I know regime change is a word that a lot of people in America don't want to hear, but the truth is the nuclear problem was the manifestation, the symptom of a much deeper problem, which is a terrible regime that oppresses its own people and exports terror and murder around the world, hates America, hates Israel. And the question is, have they been weakened enough that they don't matter anymore? Or will the people rise up and replace them? And people here are very curious to know what's going to happen. And again, I will remind you, but there's still a war going on in Gaza. There are still hostages, alive and dead, that these people in this country really want back desperately.
Well, and Jeff, that is kind of the little bit of the difference between the U.S. foreign policy at this point and the Israeli foreign policy, because Iran, with the Ayatollah in place, and as long as it is the Islamic Republic of Iran, it will be an existential threat to Israel, because their entire foundation is premised on a theology which requires them to seek the destruction of Israel and also the United States. So while the existential threat to America may be severely depleted through these strikes, there is going to be a friction point between U.S. agenda and Israeli agenda at this point, as long as there is that regime And how do you see that playing out? Obviously, all speculation, but over the next months and as we see more intelligence coming out about what actually did occur.
So first of all, I will say this. I should have also led with this. The amount of love, really, for President Trump and the fact that he called that shot to allow the bunker busters and the B-2 bombers to go and deliver them, which is something that Israel obviously has the intelligence and the ability to make those moves, but simply did not have the armaments, the weaponry. The fact that America made the call to do it is something that Israel loves, respects, and they understand they've never had a friend like this anywhere on earth. And that is something very important to the people of Israel. And there's always drama and there's personality clashes. And there, you know, there's also Trump is very performative, and it's never clear if he means exactly what he's saying or he's trying to present an image because he has something going on behind closed doors. No one knows. We do know is that Donald Trump has just acted in a way that is amazingly important for the state of Israel, for the Jewish people. But to your point, the fact is that the Islamic regime with nukes represented a major threat to America, not just through its proxies that still exist across America, but because the ability to deliver a nuclear device, even with a dirty bomb, let alone an ICBM, to impact America's grid is a national crisis that could bring down the entire country. And so it has been absolutely in America's interest to do this. President Trump made this part of what he ran on both times. And by the way, so did a lot of presidents. He's the only one who actually did it. And so the truth is there's not such a difference in needs and goals. There may be a difference in politics between the two countries.
Exactly. And I think President Trump, like you said, ran on this. And look, so did you look at videos of Kamala Harris saying, who's the number one threat to America right now? And she very quickly said, Iran. I think that she's like, it wasn't even a question. But of course, now you have to have some sort of spin because President Trump did it, and they have to come up with a reason why this is bad, a reason why this isn't. And Jeff, I know you worked in news for a long time as well. But when you see this, and we know that, hey, a leaked document came out, and that leaked document said, hey, maybe it wasn't as damaging as we thought. Sure, the news can report on information that they get and all of that, but that only is benefiting to create this sort of doubt that feels like it's only benefiting Iran. In this conversation, why not just why'd you report it? Again, I kind of understand if you're given information, why you're reporting it, but the leaker themselves is doing this because clearly they have a personal issue or vendetta against this administration and probably the support of Israel overall.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. The media have played a horrific role throughout this entire process, spreading all kinds of rumors and allegations and misinformation, using literal Hamas terrorist sources as though it were accurate news. But when Israel said something that was demonstrably true, they would challenge it. The media really, there was just testimony yesterday on Capitol Hill about this. The media really have been stoking the fires, not just of anti-Trump, and really of anti-America and anti-Semitism. And the media is doing, and yes, I worked in the news for many, many years, and it's tragic and painful to see it. And remember, Donald Trump, when he ran on it, he talked about media being the enemy of the people. And this is an example of that. It really is. Now, I mean, that said, we do want to know how much it was damaged, but it's important to point out this is the same media types who are challenging what damage was done and saying, you know, not so much damage and maybe they're not supposed to, who a minute ago were arguing that Iran doesn't really have nuclear weapon emissions and is too far away to even have. And all of a sudden, they've completely flipped the narrative as if they weren't making that argument until a hot second ago, until Donald Trump allowed the bombers.
Jeff, I also want to get into some of the you are there still working, even though you have been under a lot of alerts, a lot of sheltering in place as the war played out for those 12 days. But can you talk about also yesterday we did try to connect with you, just some of the other things that you are able to do while you're there and especially now that you can kind of get back to work some since there aren't the threat of incoming hypersonic missiles.
Sure. So yesterday, for the first time since the war started, was able to get together with a group of people that we at the ACLJ, Jerusalem, but even our offices in Washington have been working closely with for many years. In terms of policy, in terms of American policy, about anti-Semitism. I mean, these are people who are either Americans who happen to be here now, or some Israelis who were stuck overseas and were just able to get back in. And so it was the first day that we were actually able to meet in person, partially because not so much the lockdowns, because people were stranded overseas trying to get back into Israel. And they were able to get back in and we were finally able to meet. And this is all about a lot of global policy issues that we work on relating to fighting anti-Semitism in America, fighting BDS across the various states, new laws that are coming up, and some that are going to be signed soon that are not yet public, that are very supportive of things we care about in various states in the United States. But again, it's been hard. Everyone's been caring for their family, and people have been trying to struggle to get in from the country, and some people here are trying to struggle through their days. And this really represented the first time they were all able to have sort of a mini summit of about 15 of us to talk about where things are in all the work that we work on constantly. And again, this crosses. It's law, it's academics, it's policy, it's everything ACLJ works on all at once. And we were able to, thank God, have a meeting and also celebrate the success of these actions and the fact that we're all alive and everyone's well.
Yes, exactly, Jeff. And we're so thrilled that you're still there. I mean, you mentioned BDS. BDS almost feels like a thing of the past because of how hard we've had to now work on so many other. That was like, you know, the little anti-Semitism that you felt like was coming compared to what's happened in the last few years. It was one of our top topics, but now it's like clear and present for most people. It was not like, Ben and Jerry's won't sell ice cream in Israel anymore. It's like, compared to what we've dealt with now, but it's still happening. We need to make sure those issues are still being raised. It just feels like a lifetime ago.
And it's still demonizing Israel and Jews. Life is still miserable for Jews in universities in America. There's a whole bunch of issues that have to get resolved, and they were not made better just now. Both sides just ratcheted up their rhetoric.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. Look, in the next segment, I want to hear from you. Now, you've heard from Jeff Balaban. Look, I always tell you why it's important we have these offices in different places around the world and why it's important to have the ACLJ Jerusalem, why it's important to have the European Center for Law and Justice, why it's important that you support the ACLJ, which then can fund these offices. Because, again, it may not seem like it, but, of course, we now just saw America get involved. We saw fighter pilots from Missouri, stationed in Missouri, go to Iran to help Israel take out nuke sites that were going to be a threat to us and a threat to them. So again, that is why it's so important to have offices and have these places all over the world. Because it may seem like, you know, we want to create some sort of, you know, America first thing. And what does that look like? Well, this is part of that. You got to get involved. And you got to get involved on a global scale. So support the work of the ACLJ, but when we get back, I want to hear from you. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you disagree with me. We got four lines open right now. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Secula.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We do got a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take some more calls right now, though, because three of you are on hold. We're going to get to you, but three are open. So if you want to call, last chance of the day to get your voice heard. And I always think it's important to hear from you, not just our leading experts, our top attorneys. Will.
That's right. I'm here.
That was comma. Will.
Right.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Martin in North Carolina, watching on YouTube. Come on and raise up. Martin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, sirs. I appreciate it. As Christians, we're not supposed to stand pat on spiritual warfare, and that's where we're at. As Will says, to y'all's point, I agree this emboldens people over in Iran and around here and all that. But to me, the biggest problem in itself is the leak. And I pray that Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Pete Hetsett, Kristi Noem, and Tulsi Gabbard can get to the bottom of this and let people know there are consequences, and we're not going to stand for it, and we're not going to accept it.
I agree with you. You know, I think that it is a really egregious moment here. This isn't a whistleblower saying, you know, there's some nefarious thing happening, we need to tell everyone. It's just leaking classified documents to try to somewhat hurt the President Trump, saying that our military did a massively successful thing. Oh, they didn't do it as massively as we thought. They had a moderately successful campaign. It benefits no one. And you're right. The leaking is the problem. Same with the Supreme Court of the United States. When they said, hey, we're going to go now look into who leaked that Dobbs decision. Good. Okay. I don't like this part. I don't like that we celebrate the leaking of these documents. There are ways you can get a lot of these through Freedom of Information Act requests. It just takes time. Sure, I wish that process was faster. We do it here all the time. But also, you don't have to have people leaking this information. It's maddening. So, Martin, I agree with you. And yeah, we are in a spiritual war. And I think anyone who watches or listens to this show knows that's the truth. And you can feel it. You can feel it in the air. But also we had some comments. Will, you wanted to take a comment from YouTube?
That's right. Yeah. So Don on YouTube asked, BDS question mark. You mentioned that at the end of the last segment with Jeff Balaban and said, it feels like BDS is a thing of the past. What BDS is
it's not even a thing of the past as much right. as it feels like of it's small potatoes
right.
compared to the global intifada right. that has taken place.
That's right. And so what BDS is it stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanction. And it's a movement that largely was happening on college campuses, which evolved into the full-on anti-Semitism, pro-Hamas protests you're seeing.
The cool hipster way to be against Israel in 2010.
And what they were calling for is a boycott of Israeli products or any sort of companies that had ties to Israel, yeah. divest. That's where they were asking their universities to, within the endowments, like to get rid of either contracts with Israel or get rid of stock holdings that may have ties to Israel, including things like Boeing. Like yeah. they didn't want their universities to have stock in their portfolio of Boeing because it helped Israel, and then they wanted government sanctions on the government of Israel. So it was the movement which was rooted in anti-Semitism.
Also, it was reverse of that too, which is don't export your goods and services. Don't sell right. them to Israel.
Right.
That's where we saw the whole Ben and Jerry's situation where they're like, we don't want our ice cream being sold there. That's what was happening. And again, that may seem like small potatoes now, but it's still important that we get coverage. I mean, that's how people like Mattis Yahoo and a lot of these people got involved in this movement because they saw what was happening in Israel then. And that's why a lot of us were ready to go when everything started to unfold over the last 2 years. And it got ratcheted up to the point of where we are now, where people are getting murdered in the streets of America. It's just horrible. I do want to take some other calls, and I do want to keep this conversation going. I didn't mean to bring us down right there, but it's just the truth of what's happening. Let's go to Alex, who's calling. Listen on SiriusXM. Alex, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing a great job. And I want to emphasize something that I think is extremely important that we should all be doing right now, and that is praying for our president. The man is doing a great job. That doesn't mean he doesn't feel the stresses of the job. We've seen him go through a lot, and he's fighting very hard for what's in the best interest of America and Israel and I believe all around the world in a unique respect. So prayers to the president and his staff. And I believe, and hats off to the men who flew the planes and bombed the sites. Great job to the military. Just awesome. I want to make a very good point to you, and I'm going to do it very quickly. When you believe that there is a threat, you act, okay? Now, in respects to the behavior of the Iranians, I don't know how true these reports are, but in the nature of what we're seeing in the general public about all the trucks that were outside the Fordo site, okay, what is their action saying about all those trucks being there before the bombing? They believe that that site is impregnable. They believe that that site could be penetrated, could be bombed, could be destroyed. So I believe by their actions alone, by all those trucks being outside that site a few days before the bombing, and God only knows what they were moving around, hopefully with the satellite imagery, yeah, they tracked those trucks after they left. But I believe that that mission was completely successful, with no doubt in my mind, with consideration to their behavior. And they knew, they firmly believed they were going to be bombed. And Alex, so what do you do?
Yeah, we only got to cut you off for time.
They knew that something was coming because they weren't playing ball with the president. I think they didn't think President Trump was bluffing. But I think also what you say, it goes back to the actions of the president were not just Washington talk. It wasn't the red line that Obama gave the Syrians that, hey, if you use chemical weapons, that's a red line, and then we're going to bomb you. And then they crossed the red line and they did nothing about it. You have to, if you're going to lead with strength, you have to back up your words with the actions. And that's what he gave them. He gave them a timeline, then he let Israel go forward, and then he dropped bombs. And that is real leadership.
Yep. All right, I want to quickly go to Frank in Alabama, who's watching on Salem News Channel. It'll be the last call of the day. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I just think that, you know, they're saying total obliteration. I disagree with that, because there's the way they were explaining those bombs, they penetrate to a certain depth, you know, like maybe 300 to 600 feet, if that. And they were also saying, well, a lot of those some of those bunkers were like 3 miles underground or whatever.
Frank, I don't know all the details. I hate to cut you off. You're on hold for a little bit. We only got 1 minute left. I understand, look, there's going to be a lot of people who feel different ways, but right now we don't have a full lay of the land.
They were about 300 feet underground is where the things are. There has been a lot of misinformation and some saying, I've seen that too, Frank, 3 miles underground. That wasn't the case of where the vaults were. They were about 300 feet underground because they built it into the mountain. And the bunker busters, they drop 12 of them. They go about 300 feet down. Then they explode. They drop them in succession. There's a lot of damage that can be done with that 30,000-pound bomb. But as we know, Frank, we're going to have to actually see what comes out, not leaks from initial assessments, and we'll find out what the case is.
That's a lot of damage. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with more. I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. I want you to support the work we do here. If you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out. So many of you are watching, you've never seen our beautiful faces before, Will. And you're like, I want to see those beautiful faces every day. Well, you can't. Just hit that subscribe button. And if you love the show, you've been a part of us for a long time, consider supporting it financially. Talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.